Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. You may remember that in the Ten Commandments, we have the two tables. The first three commandments relate are about our relationship to God, and the last commandments are about our relationship with our neighbor. But the Ten Commandments simply gives a summary of God's law. In the book of Leviticus, we get more details, and we get individual statutes and things that God calls good and not good. We're reading a section today from Leviticus. I think of Leviticus, and I think of Conrad Engelbretson. He always used to say, every Christian should read Leviticus once. I'm going to actually add a couple of verses. They come from the very beginning of the section. It's chapter 18 of Leviticus. It's just four verses, and then we'll pick up what's on your bulletin insert in chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk by their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am Yahweh, the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am Yahweh the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am Yahweh, the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. But you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh, the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter. We'll be hearing from this letter to the Colossians in a sort of a continuous. We won't hear every word, but much of the letter over the next 6 weeks, we have readings from Colossians. This is the very beginning, the foundation. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in its truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand as we join in the Alleluia and verse, bottom of page 156. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
To you, O Lord.
Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. This is the gospel of our Lord.
O Christ.
Please be seated as we join in our sermon hymn.
Christ, peace and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Those were the opening words of every single Mr. Rogers Neighborhood episode from 1968 to 2001. Can you believe it? That he taught 3 generations of children the value of being a neighbor, teaching children to be kind, considerate, generous to others, showing love and care to all whom they meet. They're telling them, teaching them, that they're not just the recipients of love, but they are to turn to show love, especially to their neighbor. You know, I know that Mr. Rogers was just a TV show, and that many shows that geared towards children were always found to work in the basic understanding of that golden rule. Treat others as you wish to be treated, which we know is just another way of saying love your neighbor as yourself. However, these shows would only work on certain aspects. Many of the times they would be teaching them that developing friendship, camaraderie, a sense of brotherhood. Whereas when you look at Mr. Rogers, it's not just friendship. It's a neighbor. Understanding that those around you are not just your friends, but your neighbors as well. Now, you're not picking and choosing them, but you're still helping them. So what's the difference? Really, it comes down to just a semantic range of being, you know, your friends, those who you choose, and your neighbors who you have no choice of. Sometimes good and sometimes bad. But see, with the friends, we can pick and choose who we want to be personal with, pick and choose who we want to show infinite, intimate love with. But yet, as we look at our text today, the focus is on our neighbor. The focus on the person outside of us, the person outside of our personal little circle that we have developed. It is that person somewhere else in town, on the other side of the tracks, someone we don't often always talk to, but yet we are told to love them just the same. Yes, we are all neighbors. It doesn't matter if you live in this town or Nevis, Monaga, or even Osage. We're all part of the greater Park Rapids metropolis. Yeah, I know. Ah, laugh it up. I know. But as we heard in our reading from Leviticus, neighbor is not just your own people. There's a distinction that is made in this text. You have the poor. You have the sojourner. You have the blind. You have those who are oppressed. And yet, then you have your own people. So it makes you wonder, is neighbor those outside your own culture, outside your own group, outside your own people? If that is the case, that truly fits with today's text as we look at the parable when Jesus teaches this lawyer a correct understanding of what God speaks to Moses here in Leviticus 19. Now, if being a neighbor to everyone is loving and caring another human creature, why do we have to talk about this? This is something that we have to revisit again and again. You have been taught this from childhood, and you have heard it all your life. So why bother going over it again? Well, it really comes down to that second question put forward by that lawyer, who smugly asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" You know, by all accounts, this lawyer knew exactly the right answer. He knew what is found in the law. He even summarized it to Jesus when he asked him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he summarizes to Jesus the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But neighbor isn't just your own people, isn't just who you choose. See, when he asked this question, it's not innocent. It's not that he was wanting to fill the gaps of his knowledge or find out what it means to be the best neighbor on the block. It was to justify himself, to justify that what he's been doing, how he's been living, how he's been interpreting this has been right. And to what extent that really means, we don't know. Because the text doesn't go so far as to say who he actually believes to be his own neighbor. But we can guess that by answering this, by wanting to be justified for his actions, his thoughts, his beliefs, we could say it's whom he decides actually fits the bill. Fits his definition, not God's. But yet, even while this is going on, Jesus doesn't entertain or even explain that he's right. He answers his question with a story. A story to help them understand that a neighbor is not someone who's your own people, but those who come to your aid. As he tells them the story about a man who fell to the wayside, who could have been helped twice by his own people, but yet you see this priest, you see this Levite walk around and leave this man for dead. Not even a second thought of thinking, oh, should I help him? No, they leave him, forget about him, and move on. So the man who actually proved to be a neighbor to this man on the road is indeed a Samaritan, an outsider, and in the eyes of the Jews, an enemy, a foreigner, disgusting, worse than a Gentile. But as we see in how Jesus teaches this, it is this one who is the outsider, who is truly the neighbor of this man. Now, thinking about this question he puts forward to Jesus, I wonder how he would have received it if Jesus justified him. If Jesus said, yes, you're right. What the priest and what the Levite did was absolutely right and acceptable to God. If that was the case, then why would God have spoken to Moses and distinctions that he made there in Leviticus 19? See, what we see in our word from God is that it's not just whom we choose, but our neighbor is everybody. It's the poor, it's the sojourner, it's the blind, it's the oppressed, it is everyone and anyone. So what Jesus did was to correct his view, correct his understanding, correct his beliefs. And in all honesty, this view should never have existed in the first place. You know, it doesn't take a lawyer to understand that everyone is a neighbor to everybody. You don't need a law degree to find out who your neighbor is. You don't need a law degree to teach you that loving and caring for another human creature is indeed a noble thing. It doesn't matter who they are, where they come from. Helping and caring them is what we are called to do. Looking after someone other than yourself that you see in the mirror every morning is how we are to live. And no, this is not the social gospel. This is not what you're hearing this morning. It's a reminder of what the Christian life is to look like. It's how we are to look beyond ourselves and to see our fellow man, a fellow creature who's in need of help, guidance, love, and care, just as we were. Yes, you and I, and indeed all Christians, are called to look beyond ourselves and to love one another just as Christ has loved us. But this love isn't just to another Christian. It's not just within the inside the walls of this church. Our love extends to all people. It's supposed to go out wherever we go. But no matter who we encounter, it doesn't end within the walls of our city, our metropolis, or even within our sovereign nation. It goes anywhere and everywhere. It is something that's supposed to be engorged upon by others, much like the fruits of the Spirit are to be engorged upon by others who see it and enjoy it, not just kept to ourselves. Now, what's amazing or terrifying, depending on how you look at it, is that the definition of neighbor, it changes with age. As children, we taught children, your neighbor can be in this town, on the other side of the tracks, in another state, even in another country. But as you look at it, with age, the older we get, that circle becomes shorter and shorter. The definition changes. We move from seeing everybody and anyone as our neighbor to seeing those who fit our definition. Those who are okay within our cultural fears, those who we are okay with talking to, those who fit our political understandings, those who fit our definition of who we agree with, and those who we actually want to love. It's amazing how children go from loving, being kind and generous to others, to adults who are so quick to not love anybody else. I mean, just look at what COVID did to us. During that time, we were taught to isolate, hide, to be away from everybody, to be isolated, because we can't talk to anyone, we don't help anyone, and we are ruled by fear. And not just in COVID, but other times when that old man rears its ugly head and convinces us that I don't need to love anybody. I don't need to care for anybody. I can just take care of myself. It's easy. It's tempting. But it's not who we're called to be. Our God did not call us to be isolated, to be an island. He called us to love one another as we have been loved, to care for one another as he has cared for us. The life of the Christian is one that goes beyond ourselves, looks beyond ourselves every morning, and cares for another person, for a fellow human creature created and loved by our God. That is what the Christian life is to look like. That is what we're to emulate. That is why I really enjoy the second portion of this parable. Because what we see here is something that changes the whole view. What Jesus said to this man, to this lawyer, is something that flips the script. Instead of being, you know, right and proper as a Levite and a priest and ignoring him, we are to be like the Samaritan, caring, loving, going to the extent of even paying to ensure that this man is restored to full health, regardless of the risk, the cost, or even the danger of even helping someone else. Our neighbor is anyone and everyone. And that's the correct view that the lawyer is to have. That is what is meant by loving your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer was more than ready to be proven right, to be that justified and be right in his own beliefs and his own understanding. By the end of this parable, you can say that his mind has changed, because he then recognizes that who is the one that's actually a neighbor to the man? It wasn't the priest. It wasn't the Levite. It was the Samaritan. It was the one who had compassion on the fellow man. You could say this is what Leviticus 19 actually looks like when put into practice. You can say this is what God actually intended for us how to live. Caring and loving one another just as we have been loved and cared for by him. I really, really enjoy this parable. I really do. Not just because it shows our Lord putting a lawyer in his place, as funny as that is. Rather, I enjoy this parable because it's not just a teaching tool on how we are to live, interact in this world as Christians. Yes, it's a great way of teaching and helping and understanding and reminding us that even though we see somebody else, even if they're not part of the faith, we are to still help them and to love them. But I really love how it highlights what kind of love Christ has given to you and to me. See, just like the Samaritan, Christ is our good Samaritan who has rescued us, nurtured us, tended to our wounds, and has paid a hefty price that we can never pay. Yes, I know this is allegorizing the text, but am I wrong? The early church taught Christ as the Samaritan, taught that he is the one actually tending to and helping this man. For that is who he is to us, helping us, tending to us, caring for us when we didn't even know what was going on. Christ didn't hesitate if we were part of the tribe. Christ didn't hesitate if we looked like him, believed like him. We are still neighbors to him, regardless if we live on this continent or anywhere else. Christ taught us and showed us that our neighbor is anyone and everyone. Because even while we were strangers to him, even while we were still sinners, he died for us and loved us regardless. So it shouldn't come as a surprise when Jesus tells this lawyer, go and do likewise. Because that is what we are to do. We are to go and do likewise, to love, to care, to help our fellow man. Because our fellow man is our neighbor, regardless of where they're from, regardless of what they look like, regardless if they even speak our own language. For anyone and everyone is our neighbor. And it's easy to forget that. It's easy to overlook that. But look at what we receive from our God. We have received love. We have received compassion. We have received mercy. And that is what we're to give to anyone else, to everyone else. And when I think back to what Mr. Rogers was teaching, being generous, kind, and considerate of others, and asking that opening question in that song of would you be mine? Could you be mine? Would you be my neighbor? Perhaps that's how we are to look at this and to look at others. Not picking and choosing, but seeing them as how Christ saw us, to love and to care. Because anyone and everyone is our neighbor. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.